Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to another episode of Extreme Basketball Topics. And on Extreme Basketball Topics, we get to the extreme. And this week, the extreme is the injury bug that's going around in the NBA. It's unfortunate that this is a part of the game, but injuries happen. And DeMarcus Cousins will be missing the remainder of the season due to a torn Achilles. This means that DeMarcus Cousins will never be the same. I say this because nobody comes back from a torn Achilles the same. You've seen the Isaiah Thomases, you've seen the Kobe Bryants, you've seen the Rudy Gays, you've seen the Elton Brands, you've seen the Brandon Jennings. It's either your numbers take a dip, or you just never play basketball in the NBA ever again. I think DeMarcus Cousins will come back a humbler version and it'll help himself, because I didn't think the Pelicans would come back or would come consistently all season, if that makes sense. I didn't think they were going to make the NBA playoffs. I thought they had a hot start, but I thought they were going to fall off, and due to DeMarcus Cousins' leadership, really. I feel like the Pelicans should look into trading Anthony Davis, because the Pelicans are a horrible organization. Anthony Davis might not be that face of the franchise kind of guy, because a face of the franchise kind of guy can lead anybody to the playoffs. And this guy, it's his sixth season. He's probably going to miss the playoffs again. That's 5 out of 6 years. I mean, that's not franchise guy. That's, hey, I need to go help a franchise guy kind of guy. And that's okay. Free Anthony Davis. I'm starting my campaign. Every week until he gets freed, I'm probably going to be shouting out Free Anthony Davis. Trade deadline is next week, Thursday, and I feel like the Pelicans should make that a consideration. Another injury is Andre Roberson. He tore his patella, and that's just, you know, rupturing your patella is just, you know, that tendon is, it's important. And it's sad. It's sad that OKC is going to be missing out on a key guy. You know, I'm an OKC guy. There's no secret about it. I'm an OKC fan. I die hard. He's the glue to OKC. OKC's defensive rating goes from first to worst, literally, when Andre Roberson is on and off the floor. He was a candidate for Defensive Player of the Year just because of that. You know, they were starting to roll just because of him. He's really the glue. So, they got to go find a defensive stopper. Now, I'm saying go get Courtney Lee. I'm saying try to get Tony Allen. I'm saying everything. But really, I say go get Matthew Dellavedova. He's a Steph Chaser. You want to beat the Warriors? Go get the Steph Chaser. You're never going to find a guy to lock down Steph. But Andre Roberson was their guy to chase Steph. Why not get a guy that's chased Steph multiple times already? Go get him. Milwaukee doesn't know how to use him. Another injury was John Wall. And that was tough to see. John Wall, he has some knee issues and he's having surgery. So he's out. The Wizards are the Wizards, though. We know that they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. We know that they're going to lose. So John Wall, it's not that much of a loss to the NBA. He'll be back, and he'll lose in the second round in the Eastern Conference Semifinals. Another injury that was sustained was Kevin Love. And this one's dear to my heart because the Cavs are a mess. This one's close to my heart because you feel bad for the Cavs. You know, I want them to figure it out. I know they're going to figure it out. But they're a mess, and Kevin Love, he just got a finger pointed at by a 5'8 guy, and now this 5'8 guy has no guy to point his fingers to in this mess. It's sad. I'm actually happy for Kevin Love. I'm happy that he doesn't have to go through this mess, and he can just come back when it's clean. And another injury is Mike Conley. I don't blame Mike Conley for having this heel surgery. I don't blame him for not coming back, because I wouldn't want to return to that mess either. It's a calculated decision. I knew Mike Conley wasn't going to come back this season. He'd have to be crazy to want to come back to that disaster of a season after the unrightfully fired Coach Fizdale. Unrightfully. And I was just watching an NBA game right now with Dallas and Phoenix Suns. And I saw Isaiah Cannon goes down, and it's tough because he's a journeyman. He's just finding his way. It was a very gruesome injury. Prayers and thoughts go out to him and everybody else that's going through injuries right now. Hope you all come back safe and ready, and you guys will all come back 100%. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys all on the court. Injuries suck. injuries actually suck. Like, they suck indeed. It's sad to see your favorite players not out there, and it's hard on the players. I mean, it's hard physically and mentally to get over an injury, and I wish the best to all of them for real. And the NBA has lost 3 current All-Stars that are supposed to be playing next month's All-Star game. And I'm going to start with DeMarcus Cousins. You know, his All-Star replacement is Paul George. I feel like Paul George should have not been an All-Star replacement, because I feel like he was an All-Star already. And I'm sad that it had to come down to that. And maybe I'm a little biased because I'm an OKC guy, but I just feel like Paul George was an All-Star. And it's sad that guys that are averaging 11-7 are All-Stars because their team's good. That means that Tayshaun Prince was a perennial All-Star. You know what I'm saying? So it's tough to see him as an All-Star replacement, but I'm glad he's in the game, and I'm happy for him because he gets to play in his hometown. John Wall's All-Star replacement was Andre Drummond, who I also felt like was an All-Star. A guy averaging 15-15 with 4 assists. He's carrying the Pistons on his back night after night. Big performance after big performance. A 2020 guy. He's an All-Star. He's an All-Star in this league. If you're going to reward a guy averaging 13 points and 7 rebounds, and he's 6'9", and he's a center or a power forward, whatever he's playing, because his team's the number one seed, you're going to give him an All-Star spot? It's starting to get crazy in this league. Al Horford. I'm talking about Al Horford, if you don't know what I'm talking about. But, yeah. You know, Andre Drummond gets in. He shouldn't be All-Star replacement. He should be an All-Star. So it sucks that it had to come down to that too for him. And now for John Wall, the league hasn't announced his replacement yet. But my guess is that it's going to be Ben Simmons. It should be Ben Simmons. I've been hearing some Goran Dragic talk, which is just complete baloney. Why are we rewarding a team with a good coach? Because they're good. They're well coached. Goran Dragic is not an All-Star. Can we cut that out? You don't have to reward a team because they have a good record. So, they deserve an All-Star. No. They just have an All-Star coach. Eric Spoelstra is an amazing coach. He's been doing an amazing job. But there's no All-Star. There's not an NBA All-Star on that team. Maybe Hassan Whiteside. He's been snubbed a couple times. I'll say that. But All-Star? Goran Dragic over Ben Simmons? Come on. No, Ben Simmons deserves his All-Star spot. He's the next in line for an All-Star spot. I've been hearing Kemba Walker talk, and no, Charlotte Hornets are not that good. Ben Simmons is on a playoff team, and he's averaging crazy numbers. I'm talking 17-8-7 in his rookie season. He's an All-Star. If you need a guy, he's an All-Star. He'll be there All-Star weekend playing in the rookie All-Star game, the corny World vs. USA game. He could play in this game, too. He could play in the big boy game because he's a big boy. I hope nobody else goes down. And I'm tired of... I just want to say one thing. I'm tired of these players in the NBA. Lou Williams. Like, I was a Lou Williams guy. I wanted him to make the All-Star team, but there's not enough spots. And to be honest, guy, you're not that good. You're just not that good. Okay, you're getting buckets, but you're not an All-Star. You're mad that Paul George isn't over you? Your team doesn't even have a playoff spot. You're not that good. And also, I saw Jaylen Brown post a laughing emoji after... You're going to laugh at this one. After Andre Drummond was announced as All-Star replacement, Jaylen Brown posted an emoji. You average 14-5. We need to stop rewarding guys on good teams that are just contributing, that aren't All-Stars, because they're starting to think that they deserve to be in the All-Star game. Jaylen Brown does not deserve to be in the All-Star game this season. And if you think that he does, please don't ever listen to my podcast again, because me and you do not have the same basketball mind, and you don't have the correct basketball mind. Jaylen Brown is not an All-Star. He's an All-Role. You know what All-Role means? He's an All-Role player. we're going to stop with all the injury talk. I mean, it's kind of depressing if you think about it. I want to move on to another big thing that happened this week, which is pretty extreme. I'd hope so. It's five-time All-Star Blake Griffin was suddenly just traded out of the blue to the Detroit Pistons. The Los Angeles Clippers just pulled a very, very sketchy move, and it's gonna change the game in free agency. It's gonna change the way players look at things. I mean, Blake Griffin, he was given this big presentation in the summertime and signed this big max contract deal. They're telling him in the free agent meeting, the Clippers were saying, "Oh, you're going to be our next big thing. You're going to be a lifelong Clipper, face of the franchise, blah, 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 you name it." 6 months later, they traded him to the Detroit Pistons. Mind you, the Detroit Pistons were not on Blake Griffin's list. His short list, very, very short list of teams when he was a free agent. They traded him to the Detroit Pistons, and they probably hit the poor guy with a, "Oh, it's just business. Part of the business, man. It's just a business." And they let him go. And then, of course, the Kevin Durants and the LeBrons of the world who were coming to Blake Griffin's defense, like, "Oh, when a player leaves, he's a snake. When a team trades a player, it's just a part of the business." I think it's all perspective. I think that when a player leaves a team, when the team thinks that they have a chance at a championship, the team's going to be loyal to you. The team's going to be loyal to you. You're loyal to the team. You have brotherhoods. You're ready to go to war with your teammates. And you build a bond. You build expectations. Like, "Oh, we can get this done. We're going to get this done. We're right there." The Clippers were never right there. The Clippers are just going to be bad for a long time. They're going to be mediocre. And Blake Griffin was going to be the face of that. And he was okay with that. He was like, "You know what? I'm in LA. You know, I'm dating Kendall Jenner. Why not?" So I think it's two different things. I think when a LeBron leaves or when a Kevin Durant leaves, it's different than when a Blake Griffin leaves. But if Blake Griffin left the Clippers, he wouldn't be a snake. Nobody would call him a snake. Because what is he snaking? Their championship hopes. You know, so I think it's different in that sense. Another thing is, Blake Griffin's going to the Eastern Conference. He's going to a team that I don't know what this team is doing. You know, and I say that in the most nicest way possible, because we know Blake and DJ weren't that big of a deal. And now you trade him to the Pistons. Blake and Drummond might probably, they're probably not going to be that big of a deal. They're probably not going to be a scary duo. It's not a Twin Tower situation where it's like, "Oh, this is kind of attracting," when it's DeMarcus Cousins and Anthony Davis because they're so skilled. This is just Blake Griffin, the ball stopper. This is Andre Drummond, the guy with no post moves. And you're going to put them together and you're just going to... This is just another Blake and DJ. This is Blake and DJ with no athleticism. With less athleticism. With least athleticism. Because I don't think that this guy can... He could get off the floor, yes, he's 7 feet, but it's not going to make that big of a difference. And then the Pistons, I don't know what Stan Van Gundy's doing. The reason, his logic behind it was, when you can get a proven star, you gotta do it. And I agree with that to an extent. Blake Griffin is a proven star. And I noted that he was a five-time All-Star, but his last All-Star game was in 2015. It's 2018. He's not playing in this All-Star game, so maybe 2019. That would be 4 years. So, I mean, Blake Griffin to Detroit, yes, but it's not making that much of news, and because it's not that big of a deal, because it's just Blake Griffin. We've kind of forgotten about Blake Griffin. That's what happens when you're a Clipper. And maybe that's why Chris Paul left. But I'm kind of bummed out, though. I'll tell you why. Because I love the Clippers-Rockets rivalry that was happening with Blake and CP and Doc and Austin. I don't know why I keep mentioning Austin, who happens to be untradeable, but we'll get into that another time. Another thing I want to talk about, which I've been hinting at this episode, is my OKC fanship. Personally, I feel like this is the year for them. This is the year. They're going to figure it out this year and they're going to win. But I've been saying that every year since 2008. And you asked me why I like this team. And, you know, it all started with Kevin Durant. I was a fan of him, but then I fell in love with the organization. So when he left us, you know, I didn't leave with him. You know, I was an OKC fan by then. And, you know, we had a rough year last year. You know, that year was, it was about Russ. It was about Russ, the angry Russ. It was about, can he do it? Can he, you know, do it by himself? And he proved that, yeah, he's very capable of getting it done. He's a franchise guy, because franchise guys take you to the playoffs. He took me to the playoffs. He said, I don't care who I'm playing with, I'm doing this. That was amazing to watch. It was amazing to be a part of. As a diehard OKC fan, I feel like this is their year, though. They have a Paul George, who's a top 10 player in this league. He's a great perimeter defender, an elite perimeter defender. They have Carmelo Anthony, who is in the twilight of his career. You know, he's on a downhill slope. He's not going to give you 25 a night. He can on a bad team. But he's on a good team now. He's giving you 17.8 or 17.5, whatever. He's just a bucket. He's a bucket getter still. But we're going to win. We have Steven Adams. I feel like this team, they had everything. When Andre Roberson was there, they're a number one defense in the league. It's amazing to be a part of. There's something special that we had. And I feel like even though Roberson is down, this team can get it done. They can get it done. They're going to be a scary team in the playoffs. Because remember, you have to beat them four times. And it's not going to be easy. Because Russ is going to keep coming at you. Paul George is shooting career high from three. You know what I'm saying? They've been playing so efficient. I'm talking 23-9 since December 1st. Just the second best record in the NBA. Only to the Warriors. Which is, obviously, somebody's going to shrug when they hear that. You know, people will shrug like, oh, they're still a lot better than the Warriors. I feel like Paul George and Carmelo Anthony and Steven Adams are such a great fit all together with Russell Westbrook. I feel like if they can get a Matthew Dellavedova, if they can get a Courtney Lee, or if they can get a Tony Allen, they're right back in it. Obviously, Sam Presti's going to have to pull some strings, but I just feel like they can get it done. And I'm getting a couple text messages on my phone right now saying I'm a little biased. You know, because I was going back and forth with my friend about a week ago. And he says I'm crazy. He says this is the worst organization because they can't get it done with three superstars. It's a bad organization. Blah, 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 blah. He's a Laker fan, so. You know, Laker fans are delusional, and I understand that. You know, they feel like they're the cream of the crop because they're in LA and they've had superstars for years. I mean, they lost to Magic, they got a Kobe. Before that, they had, you know, so and so. They had Will, they had this guy, they had that guy. They even had Dwight Howard for a bit. They've had Shaq. You know, so Laker fans, they just think that, oh, this is it for us. We got Lonzo, Kyle Kuzma. Yeah. They don't even know what they're cheering for. But anyways, you know, he calls me biased. So I'm going to call a random call and, he is a friend of mine and he says he wants to call and talk basketball. So I'm going to ask him some questions. I haven't prepared him for anything. I want to hear his point of view. You know, I'm going to first dive into OKC question. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. I'm going to say, I feel like they have a chance. Do you feel like they have a chance? What do you think? I want to hear what he has to say, because I feel like the Thunder can get it done this year. The Thunder can win this year. They have what it takes. They have a reigning MVP. They have two perennial All-Stars. They have a budding All-Star in Steven Adams. Steven Adams is the third best player on the Thunder. And he's more closer to number two in Paul George than number four in Carmelo. And I'm not just saying that. Watch the games. The Thunder are for real. They're scary. They're a series team. They're not a season team. They're a series team.
Hello.
Hey, Brandon. No, I'm just calling to ask you a couple questions, okay? I want to know your opinion. I'm getting emails saying that I'm a little biased, and you know. So I just want to know how you feel about the Oklahoma City Thunder. Do you feel like they have a real chance in the Western Conference?
Yeah, of course I do.
And why is that?
Because if you just look at how they're, well, maybe now, I don't know. When Roberson was playing, you know, I forgot what it was. I believe they were top five in defense and top five in offense. So with Roberson on court, it's a real game changer. And you can see against the big name teams like the Warriors, Cavs, the Celtics, all been really close games, or they've won. So I think they could really, when everything's clicking in there, firing on all cylinders.
So they're going to have to go get another lockdown defender. I was thinking that they go and get Matthew Dellavedova. Why not get Dellavedova to chase Steph in the playoffs? He's a Steph chaser.
I mean, maybe it would help defensively, but it'll be nowhere as near as good as Roberson, because Roberson can guard multiple positions, whereas Dellavedova can guard one.
Yeah. But I think that I think they're going to figure it out. I was thinking Courtney Lee, but I'm not entirely sure.
To be honest, I was thinking Avery Bradley at first.
Yeah, but they weren't going to get him.
Yeah. But I don't think the Thunder in any position to be making any moves, to be honest. I know a lot of their draft picks are tied up in other places and whatnot.
Yeah, Sam Presti's going to have to get creative. Another question I had for you was, who's your MVP pick? Mine right now has to be Stephen Curry, averaging 28 a game, shooting 50-40-90. He's my MVP. Who's yours?
I feel like, just because, I'll give it to you, he's having a great year, obviously. But just because of the whole super team that is Golden State Warriors, I feel like they'll never be given to him, no matter what, because they're going to be like, it's not fair. You have KD on your team. They make it easier. They make you more efficient and all that stuff. Even though he is having a good year, nobody can take it away from him, but he'll never get MVP. They automatically cancel each other out.
I feel like if the Warriors had never won last year, just like LeBron didn't win his first year with the Heat, he would have looked more human and won another MVP this year. But
possibility,
I think that I was going to give it to Jimmy Butler, but they're in a little slump. I can't give it to LeBron anymore. I'm definitely not going to give it to Kyrie. I don't want to give it to Harden.
I'd give the MVP to Westbrook, to be honest. I mean, if he
Russell Westbrook.
I mean, if he averages a triple double this season again, why not? Right, that's what he says. Why not? We gave it to him last year when he averaged a triple double. Everybody said that was the sole reason. Now he's about to average a triple double again. What it seems like, he's weird right now. I can't remember, but I know it's like he's right there, and his team is doing better than last year. And on top of that, I believe this year he's shooting more efficiently from the field than ever before. So why wouldn't we give it to Westbrook yet? It's only been done twice. Averaging triple double's only been done twice. If he does it again, back to back seasons,
yeah.
I think he deserves it again. Why not? Why not?
Yeah, he's having his third best efficient season in terms of the field goal percentage. He shot 45 a couple times. But I feel like this year, he's leading the league in assists.
And he's playing great defense.
Averaging two steals. He's almost averaging 10 rebounds. He should get it. Yeah, and he's top 10 defensive rating in the whole NBA. I feel like this year, he's more deserving of last year, especially if they get up to the third seed. They're going to have to get a third seed, though. Fifth seed won't cut it for MVP with his supporting cast.
I think so.
I don't think they're going to reward him for being a fifth seed. This time, it's not like...
If he has to be fifth seed, mind you, the West is stronger than it was last year. Right? If he were to get 15 again, and the average triple double, and you didn't give him MVP, then the NBA would just be admitting to playing the narratives. Nobody really cares about the KD versus Westbrook thing anymore. Right? One is Finals MVP, one is the regular season MVP. So it'll just really just prove what a lot of people already believe, and that's the NBA plays the narratives. I remember in the beginning of the season, there was talks about Kyrie being MVP. What? That was crazy. Why? Because him and LeBron just split up? You know what I mean? So if Westbrook averages triple double again and he doesn't get MVP, yeah, it just proves that the NBA plays narratives and they only feed into what's the hot topic and not what's actually happening on the court.
I just think that if Westbrook averages triple double again and he's a fifth seed, when he averaged triple double last year with the worst supporting cast and he was a sixth seed, it doesn't show much of him being the most valuable player in the NBA. It just shows that he averages a triple-double on a fifth seed. Seeing things over and over again, it's called voter's fatigue. And I feel like I don't want to vote for a guy because he averaged a triple-double again.
But
we're not talking about James Harden, too, right now, who I feel like is deserving for MVP. Not because of last night. Because, yeah, 60-point game doesn't mean you're MVP. Just because, in general, he's not that far from the Golden State Warriors in terms of standing. And if he's the number one seed, he's the MVP.
He said that last part again? I didn't get it.
I said, he's not that far from the Golden State Warriors in terms of wins, loss, and standing.
That's true.
And if he is the number one seed, if the Rockets are the number one seed, then he deserves the MVP.
I mean, yeah, he's definitely up there. But like I said, I feel like if Russell was to average triple-double again, and I feel like if you won't vote for him just because of voter's fatigue or whatever, then last year all that was really fake. And nobody really appreciates the triple-double like they said they did last year. And if you could rob Harden last year, when Harden probably deserved it, but Russ out triple-double, you could rob him again. Just like they robbed the first time Curry got MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Harden is definitely robbable.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's between Harden and Russ. I think it's between Steph and Harden.
I feel like Steph should automatically be disqualified because it's your play.
Because he's on the super team.
Because he is on the super team. Yes.
It's
much easier to get shots off efficiently and at a faster pace with a team like that when you have Klay and Kevin Durant running beside you. The ball moves faster. Like KD, like they have to double team him.
I just feel like it's long overdue. I agree with that. You know, that is eye-opening. Why give him MVP? Like, who can't do this? You know what I'm saying? Damian Lillard would be doing this. So, you know what I'm saying? I agree with you. It's just he's fortunate to be where he is, Stephen Curry. But I don't think that James Harden doesn't deserve it this year. I feel like he could be the MVP. I could give it to him this year.
Yeah. It's debatable, and it'll be a good debate. But we just have to see how everything turns out. Also, nothing about James Harden. I'm tired of him playing amazingly in the regular season, but then in the postseason, just clearly disappeared. I feel like...
Me too. 100%. Right?
I'm starting to feel like the postseason maybe should be a part of the MVP voting. Because we're seeing people playing this amazing ball and completely disappearing. And where's the fun in that? Last year, in the playoffs, it's like, ew. Why was he even in contention for an MVP?
In the 2012 NBA Finals.
Exactly. He has a habit of just disappearing. I feel like all he cares about is being the MVP and not actually winning championships.
That's very true. It's very true. And you know what? Do you think that the Rockets, because you were on the topic of him not showing, do you think the Rockets even have a chance at the NBA Finals or an NBA Championship this year?
Do I think they have a chance if Harden shows up or not?
Yes.
I mean, if Harden shows up, yeah, of course, you know, but mind you, playing with Chris Paul. Chris Paul's another magician in the postseason. You know, he has a great disappearing act. I mean, if they both show up, obviously, you know, it'll be very competitive.
Yeah, I don't think Chris Paul will ever show up. I'm surprised he.
When they do show up, you've seen what they can do in the regular season. I believe they beat the Warriors twice. they obviously can compete with the best of them, you know, and Chris Paul brings a great defensive edge, but if Chris Paul and Harden show up every night, then they'll win. But you can say that for a lot of teams too, right? If OKC shows up every night, then they win every game.
Yeah. These are the teams that I don't think that we should be talking about, and that's why I haven't brought them up on this show ever. The Toronto Raptors is one of them.
I feel like the Raptors as a whole, they disappear in the postseason, so I don't even like talking about them, to be honest with you. I'm kind of quite fed up with them.
Yeah. Toronto Raptors will always be one of them. Toronto Raptors are not, they're not to be talked about. The Minnesota Timberwolves are not relevant either. They're not going to do anything in the playoffs.
Yeah. I feel like,
Can you agree with that?
I feel like the Raptors are, to be honest, I feel like the Raptors were the Clippers of the East. You know, they do enough to be just, they do enough to be good, you know, to sell tickets, to keep the fans hype, you know, Lob City, We the North, you know, that's where they got Drake, because they know they're not going to win, so they might as well hype up their fan base, right? But that's all they're going to do, you know, second round exit, maybe Eastern Conference Finals, depending on who they play.
Yes.
That's pretty much it. They're not going further than that. I feel like a championship team, you can't have DeRozan as your go-to guy. DeRozan would be a great supplementary star to a LeBron, a Kevin Durant. You know what I mean? There's certain players who cannot be the go-to guy.
Yeah, of course.
Melo. You could never win with Melo as your number one. Melo has to be someone who is of great... Kevin Durant.
Of course not.
LeBron. That's what it is.
Of course. I completely agree with that. And I'm gonna mention something else here. I don't know how you're going to feel about this, but personally, I feel like the Celtics are a well-coached team. I don't feel like they're a dangerous team. I just feel like they're a team that's well-coached. And so I feel like if the 76ers get the 8th seed, all hell is going to break loose because they will beat the Boston Celtics. And that's it for this week of Extreme Basketball Topics. You know, we got to the extreme. Obviously, it was unfortunate with the injuries. We talked all-star replacements. Next week is going to be berserk. I mean, trade deadline is on February 8th, so we know that teams are going to be buzzing with trades and the rumors will be crazy. We'll be here to cover all of that. I can't wait to join with you guys next week. It was fun. Have a safe weekend. See you guys next week.